where we left off last week, the present world, the present evil world or age. It's a study on time, and I tell you, we have to be aware of the different instances which they say time or age or whatever, and about this present age we live in. And I want to kind of clarify something last week. I don't know if I didn't want you to get the impression that when I said this world is not the eternal world, I didn't mean to say it wasn't real. I mean, it's not real in the essence that it's not permanent, it's not lasting. This world is transit, this world is passing away. That which is eternal is that which is spirit. It's just like the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. It's a shadow of things to come. So we can say that the New Testament is what is real, what is lasting, whereas the Old Testament just is a reflection of that which is to come. And we was talking about the world that he created. And when he created the world, and that I told you there was a time period that something happened. They don't tell us what happened and what transpired. But we see Satan was up on the earth already, and that the Spirit of the Lord had brooded up on the earth. The earth was darkness and without form, was in darkness and without form. But when the Spirit moved upon it, he recreated the Garden of Eden. And we notice that Satan was already in that garden. Satan was there. But he created this world. But we see where man, when he placed man in the garden, man lost the lease to this world. It became Satan's world. Satan is the god of this world. And I went to Hebrews and said that the world, from the foundation of the world, that it was framed from unseen things by faith, that this world was here, but it's only temporal. But Satan is the god of this world, when we're talking about world and age and everything. So ever since the beginning, back in the time of Cain and Abel, and all through the times, there have always been and always be those of every age that are children of the devil, that are of this world. The sons and daughters, when it spoke in Genesis, that the sons and daughters of men looked upon the daughters of men. It was, in other words, the unbeliever of the seed of the evil one intermingled with the seed of God, with the good ones. They're cursed. There will always has been a generation of cursed children. That's why when Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "You are your father, the devil." They're not walking according to God's way. If you read that whole of 2 Peter, the 9th chapter to the 22nd verse, you'll see where the identification of those that are of this world. When I talk about world, I'm talking about ages. I'm talking about ion. I'm talking about a different fashion. And you have to be in studied last week's lesson to come up to speed up on this week. And I can't recapitulate. In other words, go back over the whole thing. I wouldn't have time for this week. We had a long ways to go. But we see what Peter says in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 10th through the 13th verse, that he's seen a new heaven and a new earth. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish with a mighty and thunderous roar, and the material elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and the works that are on it will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be in the meantime? You should be holy in behavior. That is, in a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer. And in godliness, displaying profound reverence toward our awesome God, while you earnestly look for and await the coming of the day of the Lord. For on this day the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the material elements will melt with intense heat. But in accordance with the promise, we expectantly await for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And I told you, we don't know if that's metaphorically or literally. We know that the heathen and all that is evil, all of the things of this world which is passing away shall be destroyed. When God says he was going to send fire and not water upon the earth, it was the flood, it was water that destroyed the earth last time that destroyed the world. But we see where it's a consistent saying, the fiery judgment of God. In other words, he purifying the earth. And all that which will remain will be that which is new, that which is eternal, that which cannot be destroyed. That's why I say if the foundations be destroyed, and we know by Corinthians, it's going to be a time come when all our works, everything we've done is going to be tried by fire. So I don't know if we're talking a physical, but we know that the age will be different. It wouldn't be as this present age or this present world. It'll be a new world in which the righteousness dwells in the earth. A time of holiness, and everything that's in God will be there, and that man will rule. That he created man to rule on the earth, and that's why Satan won't be there, or Satan won't be involved in that, and that man was created for this very thing. If we look at Hebrews, the second chapter of Hebrews, about man to rule the world to come, and I told you about David was a type of Christ, and that during the millennial reign, in other words, it'll be a time when man rule and reign on earth as man, as humans. That's what man was created to do. That's the project God started in the Garden of Eden. That the rule of man on earth, the Davidic kingdom I told you about. And that's when the kingdom is delivered up to God and righteousness reign. We'll see that the church is a particular people. We should be people that are practicing to rule and reign with Christ. We'll royal priesthood and we'll reign with him when he comes. Now, that's an awesome responsibility, the preparation of becoming a ruler in the kingdom. So it's not going to come by fiat. You're not just going to sit around. You're not going to be, in other words, he's going to be and prune all those out, even those in the church that may want this or whatever, but not willing to apply themselves for it. In other words, that's not willing to sacrifice, that's not willing to suffer, that they were actually called to this. In other words, they wanted or professed it, but they wasn't chosen because something was lacking. They loved this world too much. Hebrews 2 and 5 says, earth is going to be subject to man. That's when the animal kingdom, everything will be at peace. It says, it was not to angels that God subjected the inhabitant world of the future when Christ reigns, about which we are speaking. In the King James Version, it says, for unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come, in which we preach and teach of the heavens. In other words, a place of peace, the kingdom of God. And the Living Bible says, and furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world in which we preach about. So the gospel is preaching of the world to come, a time in which a new heaven and a new earth, in other words, all this is passed away. In other words, that's why I said the world has to be destroyed. The world system, we're talking about the cosmos. In other words, the orderly, the arrangement that's going on. I know it looks like chaos, but there is an arrangement that's going on. There's something, God is working, and you have to be awoken to it. Quickened, in other words, made alive to be aware that the Spirit is working now. And if you're not seeing and if you're not feeling it, you're not part of him pouring out his Spirit upon you, you're behind the eight ball because it's happening. We're growing into Christ, and I think the day of the Lord is upon us. That time is here. Now, in Acts, I told you they went out, verse through the seventh verse of the first chapter, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father had put in his own authority. But we are living in that last days, in that time, and I think the time of preparation is here, in that he allowed his friends to know. That's why he called us friends. So we'll see the coming of this new age, and we'll be a part of this new age that's coming. Ages, so we're talking about ages, which is a time period. Hebrews 11:3 is, I think, where we started at last week. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I read that in the Amplified for you to get a little better thing. I go over to King James sometime, but you ought to know the King James, and the King James is changing. They have put, there's a new King James version. Because some of it is older language, but we're trying to find the best way to get the understanding with the same meanings. You understand? But not with the other words. But it says, by faith, that is, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds, the universes, the ages, in other words, each time frame that God developed, everything God is sovereign over, that was framed or put in order and equipped for them, that God had a purpose for doing everything the way he did by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In other words, everything is beautiful in its own time. Now, we have to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding from God to be able to realize the time of what God is doing. That's part of having the Spirit. We have to be filled with the Spirit. Unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Because the Spirit is what guides you and leads you into all truth. And some truth you're not ready for because you're not walking in the word of God in your everyday life. In everyday life, God's bringing his message and getting closer and closer to you. Whether you're getting closer to God or not is in the choices and decisions that you make that keeps you further away from God or brings you closer to God. They're there. It's just that we can't see them, or the dullness of what we're doing. Some of us never will achieve that. It says the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, this is something, it's like aging. You grow into this. You develop it over a period. In the word of God, it says with exercise of use. In other words, as you apply the word of God to your life, you get greater and greater light. You can see better. You can understand better as you grow up to it. So history is not circular. It's not repeating itself. It's linear. In other words, it's heading somewhere. It's heading somewhere. We're headed somewhere. God has a purpose. There is an end to what's going on. It's not going round and round and man's going over. No. It's going to an end point. There is a time that it's going in. God is drawing all this to a conclusion where he's going to wrap it up. His purpose is building to a climax. Though the ultimate climax is not yet, we can't see it, but there is an end of the age, as he said, an end of an age that's to come. In Isaiah, we declare this by trumpet bursts. In other words, preaching the gospel loudly, the trumpet proclaims this. That's what the trumpet was. It was to draw attention to an occasion. And if you read, I don't think we're going to go over it, but Isaiah 58:1, when he says declare with a trumpet, he tell Israel of what they had been doing. In other words, a proclamation of the gospel, that a warning of their life, of their past life, and what they should be doing, because there was an impending judgment coming upon them. Just like a lot of us, our lives are coming to an end. And a lot of us, we're not able to change it, but the gospel has to be proclaimed. You have to be been offered that chance of hearing of the gospel. To a lot of us, it's a lot too late. We had acted upon it further back or whatever. But as long as you heard the gospel. You was going to reject it anyhow. So there are some that may not hear it until the older time or whatever. The prophets strongly admonished the ministries to raise their voices to warn of this destruction. So I'm warning my children and everybody I meet, are you proclaiming the gospel each day? Are you proclaiming it with your lifestyle? All that's part of it. That's why he had made us alive. He had quickened us for this age to be lights in this evil age. Now, this is, like I say, all times have been, but this present age is more evil and wicked. It is an evil age, this present age. The spiritual mark of the beast. Listen at this from Ephesians, the second chapter, 1-3. You who he had quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Maybe let me go ahead on and read it in the Amplified instead of the King James, since most of us have King James and we've read it so many times. Let's make it a little bit differently. And it says, and you he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins in which you once walked. In other words, at one time or another, you walked just like everybody else in the world. You did the same thing. But then his spirit came in and quickened you. He made you alive. You remember I told you, after your repentance and your regeneration, he started a restoration and restoring you back to your original state. In other words, he's making you alive. His word, as we walk and grow in the grace of God, he gives us eternal life. So we were once as the world was. We was once as the rest of the people were. We followed that same course. Now hold that word course there. He says, you were following the ways of this world, influenced by the present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, and that is Satan, because everything you've done from youth up has been influenced by Satan. The world, the shopping, the culture, all of the ideology, everything else that has shaped and molded you. That's why you're a child of the devil. We all sold to under sin. We were all in darkness and transgression. He had to buy us back. He had to redeem us. He says, the spirit who is nigh at work in the disobedient, in other words, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. That's why I say we will have to get rid of passions and emotions and everything and put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, Christ's righteousness. We're going to have to make decisions that we can't make with an earthly heart. It has to be a heart that God gives us, a heart that God gives us to love, a heart that God gives us that has us with empathy, that's able to empathize with others, but it has obedience to God and not error through emotions and feelings and things, though. He says, indulging the desires of human nature without the Holy Spirit and impulses of the sinful mind, we were by nature children of God's wrath, just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. But God came in and he changed the course that we were on. It's just like a river, you know, that changed the course of the Mississippi River, that cut out that section that's False River now. You remember that False River, and they cut out Mississippi so it ran a different way. Everything has its course. If you go to college or something, if you go try a degree or get a degree, there are certain courses you have to take. One life, there are certain courses we are on. There are certain things that we follow. It says, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there. In other words, we wasn't getting anything from the tower of God. All our instructions was coming from Satan, the god of this world, who was broadcasting through his spirit, through the spirits in the world. We were hearing of the spirits of this world. Of this world. You remember I said Satan is the god of this world and everything has to do with Satan. Now we were just like that. We obeyed him in that. Now it says, the course of this world, in a German word for it, I don't know if you've heard it before, the zeitgeist. The zeitgeist. The spirit of the times. The spirit of the times. That spirit is not always exactly the same from age to age. It is somewhat different. The spirit that was in the United States back in the 30s and the 40s and 50s is different from the spirit that's in the world right now. But for each age, there's different spirits. That's why Paul's told Timothy in the latter days that it will be seducing spirits coming to the world. There'll be seducing spirits. By beginning in the 60s, by comparison to what was back then, there has been a gradual intensifying of anger and hostility. It seems like your kids or people are always angry. Your spouse always not cheerful. You know, a lot of people in marriages and everything, the husband or the wife is not always, it's always in a grumpy or a bad mood. You'd be wanting to ask, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because you can go into some businesses or places and you see some people cheerful or whatever, but then you got places of people that look like they're always mad. They have a hostile spirit, a spirit of anger. All these are spirits. A competitive spirit, spirits of evil. All these are a suggestion of the way in which we go. Some of us are going along these patterns, and the spirit is what takes us away from these patterns. We start seeing ourselves that the mirror of God's word shows us that this is the way we are and this is the way we were. And we begin to hate what we were, who we are. You start to see what you were. The spirit, the word shows you. And that's when you start repenting and turning away from self, turning to God. Paul writes of the course of this world, the Greek word cosmos, translated into the English word world. It essentially means an orderly system. To human eyes, beholding all the activities throughout the earth, the world looks like anything but an orderly way. It looks like chaos and confusion, but it's following an ordered system. It's going just the way God planned for it to go. Everything that's happening is happening according to God's plan. So it's what perspective are you looking at the world from? That's why he tells them calamities and confusion. See that you be not worried. If you're worried, if you're upset at the news and all these things bother you, you're probably not looking from it from a perspective of God. Because, like, I've been watching the news. I've been trying to get more. I had stopped watching the news, but I've been watching a good bit of it lately because it gives you joy to see God's plan unfolding. Even though it's catastrophe is happening and all these things are happening, you start seeing God in these things. God is in calamity and evil. He sends all this to call us back and to show us what happens to those that are not obeying God, that they are this present age. That's why it tells us, love not the world and the things of the world. And that's why it hurts you so bad when things going the way they is or whatever, because you have skin in the game. You attached to the world. If you're not attached to the world, it's peace and joy because you see God's plan unfolding. What is going on to the discerning eye, the eyes of the one whom God has revealed himself, is this thing is going exactly like you get happier each day. Each day you hear the news, no matter how tragic it is, no matter what's going on, man, you peace and joy. That's why he said he will give you peace and joy that the world couldn't take it away. Because the worse or the darker it gets, the more light God gives his people. He's not allowing us to be in darkness. He said he'll give us light. Because you remember, as I said in Galatians 1 and 4, why did he come? Why did he die? He died to deliver us from this present age, from this present world. Galatians 1 and 4, he says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, he told in John, he says, keep them in the world, but keep them from the evil in the world. So when you see tragedy and things happening, God had died to deliver you from this evil. that you're covered in Christ. You remember I said deliver you from. In other words, bring you through, bring you out, bring you from this. He said, no, it shall not come nigh you, because you realize that he has you here for a purpose and that you're part of that plan, and it's something he has for you to do. And that's what gives you hope to wake up in the morning. A lot of people don't have any hope. They don't have any godly hope. They don't have any godly faith. And that it seems as though they are dying. That's why I say it's such a hostile and angry world. They don't know God. It's a lot of people in the church. Churches are full of unconverted people that has no hope, and it makes it bad for everybody else. All of the constant wars and the different religions, the time-wasting business of social vanities, all of this restless activity is in reality nothing but a smokescreen. That we see that God is working this thing out. Job couldn't see that was going on, that it was God working in his life, even though he was working through Satan. Everything else was just a smokescreen. It was going to end up better for Job. Everything is beautiful in its own time, even though it didn't seem beautiful, him losing his children, even though it didn't seem beautiful that he lost everything he had. But if you go to Romans, it says, no depth, no height, no affliction, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. That all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. So even though this tragedy happened to you, even though this deformity, this handicap, this setback, this loss of life, this loss of whatever happened, you know that God is working for your betterment in these things. That he has a plan, he has a way. The Greek word translated course is aeon, or ion. It is especially interesting. At first it indicates an age, an indefinite period of time. By extension, if you want to use it in a different way, perpetuity, a perpetuity. In other words, if you bury somebody at Southern Memorial, this funeral home, this graveyard, it has perpetual care. In other words, they're constantly keeping up the care of it. You notice when he say, I will prayers or some things, God says, well, perpetual law. In other words, these go out through all times, all ages. The Sabbath was given perpetuity. In other words, throughout all ages, the Sabbath would be there. And quoting another writer, Richard C. Trench, he quotes the definition of some of the biblical words of this word aeon. He says, all that floating, and that's why I give you notes and everything, because teaching this is all right and everything, but if you have the notes, you can go back and read and study it, because, like I say, the ones that's going to progress in the Lord is the ones, if you're not at home during the daytime studying the Word of God, if you're not praying, that's why he's told them, give you time to study. Don't give it to everything else, television in the world. Give it to studying the Word of God. That's why he told Timothy to bring me those parchments. When you idle, study the Word of God. We have to do more studying. Study to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed. He says, but it is all aeon, it's all the floating mass of thought, opinions, maxims, speculation, hopes, impulses, aims, and aspirations at any time current in the world. What everybody's thinking, what everything is going on, all of the hopes and aspirations are part of an aeon. This is part of Satan's system. This is part of this present system, which is impossible to seize and accurately define, but which constitutes a most real and effective power. That's the power Satan has over the world, being our moral or immoral atmosphere, which at every moment our lives we inhale again, inevitably exhale. So this is going in us and it's working through us. That's this world. That's why Jesus had to come through a woman so he wouldn't have the blood. He wouldn't be part of this system. A second person, Johann Bengel, adds that an aeon is the subtle informing spirit of the cosmos. in the cosmos being a cosmological order. In other words, a systemic order of a world system. A world of men who are living alienated and apart from God. That's Satan. You remember eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He throwed them out of the garden so that they wouldn't live forever in the state of this world, knowing good and evil. So ever since Adam, man has been in that state of living alienated apart from God, according to this cosmos. In other words, this present age, an evil and sinful time. But God sent his son who died to deliver some from this present world. In other words, those that are called out of the world. They're in the world, but they are awakened and they are conscious. Like, I think everybody has seen the movie The Matrix, that you know that it's not real and that you're able to be aware of what's going on and you're an overcomer. You're fighting a war. There's a war going on. Now you're able to fight this war. I told you in the German term was Zeitgeist, the spirit of the age or informing spirit. The term spirit is used to indicate the invisible, immaterial influence of whose characteristics are absorbed and then manifested in attitudes, conduct of the general population of a given people. That's why I've been teaching the series on conduct, attitudes, and all this. You know, it's certain attitudes and certain conduct and spirit that if you had, God gives you the discerning of spirit, and you know those that are of this world by the attitude, by the conduct and everything. You have to read people. There's a lot involved in becoming a child of God, being shaped and formed and molded in his image, that you can't just touch up on this reading one evening or just going to church once a week or whatever. This is why I always tell you to be careful of your associations. Because that's a dangerous thing, all of this spirit intermingling with different churches and preachers and teachers and everything. Like he told us, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Yes. And you have friends and people that get entangled in this, you should keep your distance from them because they carry those spirits around with them. Notice something to which we generally do not pay attention. The word world appears as the object of the, well, let me not, you will need to read that about that English portion of how it's stated in those verbs, in the writing of what Paul said about the course of the world, the extension, and the people. And about, he took a thesaurus, and I have it in these notes, of all the synonyms to go along with the word course. Because there's a lot. I had one of my sons came over the other day and he was saying something, was talking, and I had to hurry up and leave because he was saying religious things, but it was in ignorance. Total ignorance, and it was a bad spirit, and I had to get away from around it. We have to know of these things of the world and of the people of the world, the things of the world. We have to be able to identify them. It can set us back. The world being referred to here is the present evil world. So everything now is evil. The whole world is evil, right? Because this is Satan's world. This is not God's world. That's why he called us out of the world. In the book of Revelation, he tells us, come out of Babylon. In other words, come out of this world. Now, he's not talking about a geographical, he's talking about in mind, in heart. He died to deliver us. That's why he gave us a new heart, a new mind. We no longer love the world nor the things of the world. Ephesians 5:11-21. Let me read the Amplified again, and I'll read the whole thing. Do not participate in worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead, expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. For it is disgraceful even to mention the things that such people practice in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light of God's precepts. For it is light that makes everything visible. For this reason, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ will shine as dawn upon you and give you light. The light Christ gives you is to expose the evil deeds of darkness. In other words, to tell people, but not be argumentative and not strive, to tell them what God says and leave and get away from around. That's why I say I told him what it was and I left and got away. Don't care if it's your grandmother. Don't care who it is. A lot of things came up this week with some of my relatives and people. And I told them as a friend, as a cousin, as an uncle, as a brother, and as a minister. But I told them what God says, what is right. So after you've done the best you can, that Christ have given you light. That's why I say you're going to need it in your everyday dealings with people in everything you do. You need that to be so you won't be double-minded, so you won't be a gossip or a talebearer, but that you speak the truth in love. That you're speaking the truth in love. It might be brutal, but that breastplate of righteousness makes you say the truth. And if they don't like it, you said it with empathy. You've said it in the right tone, the right attitude, the best way God has given you to present it. So what happens, happens. We can't be afraid to wield the word of God. That's why he's given us light. That's why some of us never will stand on platforms. None of us will grow because we are passive. We're scared to tell people things. We just go along and for the good of this and for the good of that. And we're scared to say something. We let people say anything, and even though it's wrong, and tell us anything instead of standing up, instead of saying, that's not right. That's not the gospel. That the gospel delivers. The gospel is what sets you free. And proclaiming the gospel is what gives you more light. The more you proclaim the gospel, the greater you get at it. That's why he told Timothy, and he tells us, do the work of evangelists. Take the word of God where it isn't. And if it's there, it has been there, but it's been perverted, because there are a lot of people in a lot of other churches that are saying things that, oh, we must be serving two different Jesuses or whatever. And instead of letting you go away and eat in wickedness, it me tolerating it, a compromise. Now, you don't want to seem weird. To go away and say, well, let me pray about this, let me see the Spirit. No, no, what you need to do, you need to be prayed up that morning. You need to be prayed up. You need to know what God's word say, because you don't want to seem weird with something the Spirit says, and let me pray. No. You need, as Jesus spoke as the spokesman of God. He spoke with that authority because he was living and God was in him. And you need to speak what God had given you. And he's going to make you stronger to say these things and become who you are and what you are. And that's in his image and his likeness. That's if you presented your body to him as a living sacrifice. If he's using you, that he gives you all authority and power. Not to be cowering, not to be a weakling. You be strong and of a good courage. He says, therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. These are evil days, and we need to redeem the time. We need to buy the time back. Christ has given us that time. A lot of people, if I had a little bit more time, well, you might be about to die, and I don't know why he would give you more time. You hadn't used that he give you. You at the end, you hadn't followed Christ. You hadn't showed him to nobody else. What have you done with the time he's already given you? Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. We need to know what is the will of God. And if you're doing what he has revealed, if you're walking into the light, he'll give you more light. He'll give you a better glimpse of his will. He'll give you more of his will if you're using that he had given you. He'll open up that understanding to whereby you'll understand greater and greater. Do not get drunk with wine, therefore that is wickedness, corruption, and stupidity. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by Him. Because I said, He's going to come into your life to guide you and lead you in all truth. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. Each day He wants you to win victories. He don't want you tucked tail and running. He wants you to be an example of what a believer is. He wants you going around glorifying God. Amen. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart. Don't go around doom and gloom. Don't nobody want your God if you always sad, you always gloomy, you always bitter and envy that. Something's wrong. You're not representing the true church. Give thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Light. Let's look at light, which is His will. He was a light unto the Gentiles. He was given to be a light unto the Gentiles. And I told you about knowing and doing the will of God. How do you do that? Notice the encouraging reason Paul gives to wake up and carefully mind how we live. He says, see that you walk carefully and circumspectively, and Christ will give you light. You have to believe that. You have to trust that. You have to walk in it. You have to have faith that He'll give you the light. He'll give you the opportunity. This is an outright promise that He will give us help to do what we must do. That's why He gives us a helper. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a helper to guide us and lead us and to strengthen us when we're weak. We don't know what to pray for. The Spirit prayed for us. It make an intercession. That's why we shouldn't grieve the Spirit. But backed by this promise, we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. You can fool around and slouch and watch television all day. Now you've wasted that time. You can sit around and sleep all day. But He says, awake, old sluggard. He gives you a certain time to rest, but He don't give you all day. You know, that's a sin to be a slothful. Slothfulness is a sin. There's work. He has given us all work to do. We should be about the work of the Lord. An idle mind is a workshop for the devil. And that's why He kept coming back to the marketplace and said, why sit you here idle? Go into the vineyard and work. He even came at the last hour of the day and said, you hadn't been working. Go and work. He wants to come back and find us busy. He's going to punish those servants He come back and not find working. Okay, we went over that Galatians 1, 3 through 4 about He was good. He gave Himself, in other words, He gave of His life to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God. Not according to the way we see it, but according to God's will. In terms of growing and overcoming, living in a particular history gives a Christian no advantage. In other words, it wasn't better for people back then than it is for us now. Each person is born into the age in which God wants them in. People are talking about the good old days or back then. All days was the good old days. God was in them. But it's a present and evil world for those that are without God. Every era, every age is against God and has been against God. The times have always been evil. It's always been wicked. It's just that you hadn't had the advantage of social media or whatever to see the wickedness of man. You hadn't been able to see it unfold as quickly to hear it. But it's the same thing that's going on now, it's been going on then. There's nothing new under the sun. But Ephesians tells us, therefore, be understanding what is the will of the Lord. See, that's key. It's a repeated theme in here, understanding and being aware what the will of God is. We must not make the mistake of living a mere couple of hours just on the Sabbath day or just doing Bible study. Christianity involves every aspect of your life. You have to bring the spiritual into every portion of your life. When people say, I was just joking, I don't have time for just joking and everything. Now, I'm not saying there's not time that you're not going to be humorous, that you're not going to laugh at everything, but have God in mind during those times that all that God is allowing you to enjoy laughter. God is visiting you at all those times that God is present with you during that time. Personal study and prayer times are always clarify God's will. You have to keep going back to that well during the day, praying, reading and studying. And like I said, I'd ceased a lot of the jobs and things I was doing because throughout the day, my wife said, well, you know, because a lot of time I'm outside, I'm gone, but I'm back at the computer, I'm back reading and studying the Word of God all through the day, reading, working, studying, because it's just like going getting a sip of water. When you go get the Word of God, it refreshes you. It keeps you going. You have to keep sharpening that axe, sharpening yourself in the Word of God. And you have to learn to pray at all times and working, thinking, and in conversation, meditating on God's Word and putting God there, because the times is evil. It doesn't take anything for a thought to pass you. You remember I said all of the thought that's in the world. There are people devising evil against you. There are evil thoughts. There are wickedness and everything. So you're in a battle here. You don't have time to let up. Satan, the adversary, is like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. We must not neglect doing his will as every occasion arises every day. Woe to us if we disregard them, for they comprise the various circumstances that challenge us to overcome and grow in seeking God. We can't take our eyes off of God. If you do, you'll do like Peter, you'll begin to sink. Your focus must remain on God. You want him in your every thought. Bring every thought into captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. The next point is we're living in a deceptive time. Deception, treachery, betrayal. And it's everywhere. Family, friends, homes, jobs, anywhere you go. That's what this age is about. This does not mean that we, as we approach Christ's return, human nature itself will get any worse than it already is. But the expressions of its evil will intensify and increase. In other words, man has more modern technology in which he can do even worse evil. He can do even more evil. They was talking about the Facebook data breach. Man is finding ways to work wickeder and wickeder. With every device, everything that God created good, man has found a way to pervert it and use it in the wrong way. There are consistent scams and sinful inducements to evil and to go along with evil. In the hearts of man, it's just like in Matthew, it says, it's going to be as the times of Noah. Man's thoughts are continually evil. They're continually wicked. Man lies on the bed devising ways to do evil. He saw this. God looked down and saw that the wickedness of man was continually evil. That's man's intents and thoughts. Evil men. He says, keep them from the evil, because now evil is getting inside the people, of being possessed, of being one that carries around these spirits. 2 Timothy 3:13 reveals a general principle still working as we progress toward the return of Jesus Christ. Listen at this principle, what Paul tells Timothy, he says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He's talking to the church now, because right now you have a greater thing of deception in the church. And the greater thing is that men are more or less inclined to yield themselves to the wives and things. That's why Paul said it's better not to marry because of this present distress. There are more men that's putting themselves under women ministries and teachings now than ever before. And we know that that's against the Bible. We know that that's against God's word, that a woman shouldn't teach or usurp authority over the man. But if you notice that most of the ministries, and that's why he said in Revelation, about that woman Jezebel, who teaches, because what has happened, we've subverted or we've perverted what the family is and what the family should be. No longer is man the head of the family. No longer is it man and woman, but it's man and man or woman and woman. All of this we say is new. All of this we say, well, times have changed. But the word of God, Jesus says, I change not. But evil people flourish and they make more off of us, and they're improving character and conduct in any way to deceive you. The deception is greater. That's why he says in the last days, many are antichrist will come. Many are antichrist. We're looking at the evil justice system. The justice system has become completely evil. I heard today of Paul Ryan is not going to run for his seat of re-election in the seat of world, because even men that will did dirty or wrong, they see that it's going to call for them to get worse and worse, or evil and evil to continue on in this course. Solomon seen this, the oppression of the innocent, the oppression that evil governments has. In Ecclesiastes 4:1-3 says, then I looked again and considered all the acts of oppression that were being practiced under the sun, and behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them, and on the side of the oppressor was power, but they had no one to comfort them. So I congratulated and thought more fortunate of those who are already dead than the living who are still living. But better off than either of them is the one who has not yet been born, who has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. I have seen that every effort and labor and every skill and work comes from a man's rivalry with his neighbor. This too is evil and chasing after the wind. But Solomon was looking from it at a viewpoint of a man under the sun. He's seen that government was corrupt. He's seen that it was oppressing the people, and that every government was corrupt. The only government that's not corrupt is the government of Jesus Christ that's coming in. It says the government's going to be on his shoulders. That's why the kingdom of God is entering into and it's delivering us from this present and evil world. Solomon realized and was disturbed at this, because in Israel, that was his nation, that it was judges that wasn't judging right, that there was systems of people being oppressed. And we see here the majority of this nation love evil. They love evil leadership. They love evil and wickedness, and that's rampant. That's why God is allowing us to see the inside of this nation. In the last year or two, we've seen the wickedness of the people that goes along with wickedness and evilness. And that's at every level, from local to the federal level. At every level. That so many people are resigning and quitting and getting away, but you can't. You have to fight this war. You have to fight this battle. There's no getting away from it. But God, you have to have God to win it. You fighting a losing battle if God's not on your side. Edward Gibbon, the historian who wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, says about more modern times, political corruption is the most infallible symptoms of constitutional liberty. He means that if a country has a constitution that guarantees freedom to obey, there's also freedom to disobey. He implies that people, regardless of their office, selfishly disobey. And this is exactly what we're seeing today. We're seeing it at our highest levels. Ecclesiastes 8:9-13 says, the wicked and the righteous, I have thought deeply about all that goes on here under the sun, where people have the power to hurt each other. I have seen wicked people buried with honor, yet that they were the very ones who frequented the churches and temples and praised in the same city where they committed their crimes. This too is meaningless and vanity. When a crime is not punished quickly, people feel it is safe to do wrong. That's why a lot of people in iniquity, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. People are not being punished for their sins. There are people that our government is pardoning in, and the courts are looking the other way. Sin is not being punished. I heard something about in the state of Louisiana now, they're talking about getting rid of the death penalty. Well, the death penalty is right, but it's man that can't carry it out because man is not right. But God gave the death penalty for that those that kill man shall be killed by man. But government is so corrupt they can't even carry out those correctly. See, man, the world is ultimately too corrupt to do anything. It can't judge, it can't govern itself. That's why he says this present age, this world is passing away. It's not being ran correctly. He has to bring government in. So no nation shall escape that, the rule of God. The present world. Church people, and that's who put the leader in we have today. The church put this leader in we have today. And if that's representative of what the church want, those churches are patterned after Demas. Demas was named in several different places in the Bible, but we see in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, he had went to the point, it says, where Paul says, for Demas has forsaken me, having did what? Loved this present world. And he's departed and left for another city. It didn't say he stopped preaching or teaching, but he loved the present world. That's why I say you have to watch the evangelists and all these people that's coming around that's preaching and teaching. It's after the present world. They have apostatized. They have went away. In other words, they're in the church, but those are the ones that's against God. That's the world system. Those are the world churches. They have left the upstanding, the uprightness of the gospel. They're still preaching and teaching because Satan ministers are transformed into angels of light. They're transformed. That's why John was fighting with the Gnostics and things of his day. And he told his people, 1 John 2 and 15, love not the world, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world only offers a cravings for physical pleasure, a cravings for everything we see, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what it offers. The pride in our achievements and the possessions, these are not of the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does and pleases God will live forever. The love of the world is hatred of the Father. This world is passing away. Love not the world. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Why he tells us this? 2 Corinthians 2 and 4 says, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ. That's why I say you tell your relatives, tell people and everything, but they might not can see or understand, but don't hate them for that. But don't keep following them. Don't keep company. Don't get attached to them. Because Satan has blinded their minds because they love darkness rather than light. They have believed a lie. Satan is the god of this world who blinds the mind. Rulership, rule. John 12, 31, it says, now judgment has come upon this world. The sentence is being passed, Jesus said. Now the ruler of this world, who is Satan, will be cast out. He's going to cast the ruler of this world out. The world has come under judgment. Paul says, for we wrestle not, Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against that, but we're not contending only with physical or evil men, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's who we're fighting against, the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're fighting a battle against wickedness in this evil world. The forces of this world is arrayed against Jesus Christ. It's arrayed against the things of God. That's why he's going to take us out of the world. But we have to dwell and fight that fight and glorify him and be lights in the world as long as we're in this world. But don't love this present world. Now we go, stop.